Welcome to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlo Dermagerdichian with the Armenian Studies Program. This week is a kind of a special week in the Armenian community because we're going to be celebrating or commemorating April 24th. And April 24th is the 100th anniversary, 105th anniversary of the commemoration of the Armenian Genocide. And so it's a very solemn week. And of course, usually on April 24th, throughout the rest of the world, and including here in Fresno, there would be an opportunity for everyone to be able to commemorate that. But we haven't been able to kind of do that because of the situation. So this week, we're encouraging everyone to stay at home and make sure that they're not doing any kind of coming out in the public for April 24th, but we're going to be doing that at home. Now, still this week, it's going to be, as I said, April 24th, and at the Armenian Studies Program, there had been a plan for the Armenian Studies Program to have a guest and a film. But instead of that, this week we're going to be talking to my guest. She's Stephanie Ayanian. She's a producer, project manager, filmmaker, and an educator. So I'd like to welcome her to today's program. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Barlo.
So good to hear you. You have just made a documentary, and we're going to be talking about the documentary. The documentary is called What Will Become of Us? But first of all, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your background, because you actually have a San Joaquin Valley background. So tell us a little bit about your connection to the San Joaquin Valley.
Absolutely. So my parents actually were born and raised in the San Joaquin Valley. My father is Charles Garoyan, and my mother is, her maiden name was Sherry Alexanian. And so we are part of the Paloyan, Alexanian, Garoyan clan that is in that Central Valley. So when I was growing up, I would constantly be there visiting all of my extended family and my grandparents. So I have as though it's another home for me.
And, You have a lot of people here that you're close to. That's great. And Stephanie, so the reason we're talking with you today is really to talk about the film that you made, which was called What Will Become of Us. And I'd like you to tell me a little bit about the background of it. First of all, it's very much tied in with the Armenian Genocide, but probably not in the way that most people, the pros, are still thinking about it. So tell us a little bit about the background of the film, what it is, and then we're going to go into more detail.
Absolutely. So in 2014, I was sitting with my husband in our living room, and I said, you know, next year in 2015, it's going to be the 100th anniversary of the genocide. And I said, I hope someone's making something for public television or for large consumption so that we can kind of commemorate that occasion. And so the next day, I contacted some Armenians that I knew and various organizations around the United States and asked, you know, is anyone doing some kind of a film or a commemoration for the 100th anniversary? And at the time, there were some projects that were going around, but they were mostly about the genocide. And so I very quickly got together with my business partners and started talking about what we should do. My business partners are not Armenian, Joseph Myers and Tom Kiter. And they were supportive of developing a project. So I talked to some scholars around the country to develop the idea. And What Will Become of Us was originally titled A New Armenia. And the idea originally was that we wanted to make a film that was forward-looking, that was about who we are as survivors 100 years later. And so the original idea was to travel the United States and follow five families and see how they are, you know, keeping the Armenian culture close in their own families. What ultimately happened is that over the course of multiple years, it ended up taking us quite a bit longer than a year to make the film. But over the course of multiple years, we actually traveled and filmed, I believe, 10 stories. with individuals and some families, some taking us as far as Armenia. And we found some amazing individuals who are doing really important work when it comes to Armenian culture in America. And so we, in the end, had to cut out a couple stories. We can talk about that later if we want to. But now we have a film that's titled What Will Become of Us that's coming out on PBS stations across the country. And the idea is that it does talk about the genocide so that our audience understands the story of the Armenians and who we are. But it's really a film that focuses on so much more. It really focuses on us as survivors and what we're doing today with our Armenian-American identities.
Well, thinking about the 100th anniversary, you said that was kind of the jumping point for you in terms of thinking about ahead 1 year in 2014. And I think back, in the past 15 or 20 years now, even more, there have been several major films made about the Armenian genocide. And in many cases, they've somehow been maybe not living up to expectations, because people have expectations that a film about the Armenian genocide is going to somehow encompass everything there is about the Armenian genocide. But before we talk more about What Will Become of Us, what are your thoughts about that and movies like The Promise and earlier Adam Egoyan's Ararat, since you're a filmmaker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I feel so lucky to have other, you know, filmmakers making important work, right? And I also think about Andrew Goldberg's film, The Armenian Americans and the Armenian Genocide. And, you know, there are a lot of people, Nare Mukhadzichian, you know, I could go on and on. There's so many Armenian filmmakers that are making meaningful work. And I think that what's interesting is that I think it's important for all of them to be making the work and for us to have so many different perspectives, right? And, you know, one of the reasons that I didn't want to make a historical documentary is because I think that Andrew Goldberg did such a fine job with his film. And, you know, I think of, like, you know, Architects of Denial and what a great job that, you know, film was. Bill Berlinger is, you know, one of the finest documentarians in the world. But when it comes to the various films that have been made about the genocide, you know, one of the things is that Armenians are a tough audience, right? We want everything to be perfect at all times. And so I would argue that all of those films are, you know, really quite perfect in their own ways. They were trying to achieve something completely different. Adam Egoyan is a totally different style filmmaker, right, than Terry George. And our expectations are high. And we also not only have high expectations, but we also want things to be accessible, right? And so I celebrate all of the films that have been made before this and that will be made after this, because as many Armenian stories as can get out there, it's important that we continue having more.
I think that's a great perspective, because it's true that each film brought its own view and its own a commentary, in a sense, on the Armenian genocide, from sort of epic films, I think, of The Promise, to perhaps more complex films like Ararat. And talking about now your documentary, What Will Become of Us, you had to kind of just sort of jump into it all. And you talked about the idea of interviewing families. So tell us how that process, how you narrowed it down. How many families did you actually start with? How many did you actually interview? And then I think we come down to the film itself.
Yeah, this is a great question. So I spent well over 6 months to a year, actually, trying to figure out which exact stories we were going to follow. We knew some up front, but then, you know, ultimately I was calling Armenian organizations. I was calling churches. I was calling, you know, friends of friends, right, to say, we need some interesting stories of individuals who are doing things in 2015 or 2016 that we can actually follow their stories. We didn't want to tell something that had happened in the past. We wanted to see people that were actively doing something, engaging with their culture. And so that meant that the people that we found had to have these active stories where they were engaging, right? So that was a way to kind of narrow down the field. That being said, we talked to hundreds of people. And they gave us lists of names with you know, endless amounts of names. In the end, I made phone calls and we had video chats and I got recommendations and I read newspapers and listened to radio shows and, you know, people were constantly giving us ideas. And the stories that we settled upon were ones that that we found through all of this research. And we found people who were not only doing things that were interesting and how they were engaging with the culture within this period of time that we were filming, but also we thought that they were stories that were really accessible to a broad audience. We wanted to make sure that this film spoke to not only Armenians, but most importantly, the general public. I know Armenians are going to watch this film, right? We love watching Armenian content. But I really wanted this film to go out on public television stations around the United States because PBS is a way to educate the masses, right? It's in most homes in the United States. And we wanted all of the non-Armenians to see this and to embrace Armenians and embrace our culture and appreciate how their culture is possibly shares some similarities with ours. And so in the end, we ended up filming with about 10 people, and we had an edit with our editor, Greg Feinberg, and our writer, Mary McDermott. They worked together with Joseph Myers and I very in a dedicated fashion for a long period of time. We ended up with a 90-minute film, and unfortunately, PBS really wants an hour. They wanted an hour, so we had to cut out multiple stories to be able to get it to the 60-minute mark. So the PBS stations would actually distribute it. And that's how we ended up with the six main stories that we're going to be sharing with you in this film, plus two shorter stories.
Would that be comparable to pretty much any other films that you've made in the sense of the time that it kind of takes in the backstory and building that? Or would this take less time or more time? Or
it's interesting. So the reason that this took so much time is actually because of the funding landscape. If I had had someone write me a single check for the entire budget early on, it wouldn't have taken nearly as long to make the film. But I ended up taking years to do the fundraising to be able to pay to make it happen. So that's what ended up taking long. But the truth of it is the documentaries do often take a long period of time. And the other, you know, feature documentaries that I've worked on are not things that happen in 3 months. They are usually things that happen in 1 to 3 years. You know, this took a little bit longer, but luckily it's done, and I think it's still quite timely for all the audiences to be able to see it.
So for these six families, how many times did you actually have to make contact before you did the sort of the final shoot, or did you actually take material from several shoots?
So with most of these people, they ended up becoming good friends with us because we were there quite a bit, and some people got used to seeing us in the middle of the night or very early in the morning. So depending on the story that we were filming, you know, there was a young couple in Wisconsin who was leaving to go to Armenia, and they had to get up in the middle of the night, and we were there with them, and we saw them get up in the middle of the night, and we saw them leave. And so, you know, we traveled to Armenia with them to show that part of their journey, right? And so, and then we went back a few months later to capture the progress of that journey. And then we filmed with them a few months after their return. So with most of these stories, we filmed with people on multiple occasions. And the story in the Central Valley that we focused on was that of Richard Hagopian and Andrew Hagopian. And we were there filming with them a few times. So some stories we were, you know, with people, you know, 3 to 5 times. Other stories, more or less. It really depended on what the story called for.
And so your central premise of the documentary is how do these families navigate or look at the genocide, particularly was the 100th anniversary, but since we're past that, and how they look at themselves and in the past. Can you expand on that a little bit? What was it that you were trying to really get across?
Yeah, you know, I wish I had my filmmaking partners on with me because it really was a team effort, you know. But ultimately, I think that one of the things that kind of motivated me in the decisions that I was working with the team on is this idea that being Armenian in America 100 years after genocide, there's still so much of our history that kind of you know, one of the things that someone in the film says is that it creates a long shadow. The genocide creates a long shadow. Hachik Muradyan, the scholar out of Columbia University in New York, says that. And I think that it's true. And so, and what he says is it's about how we come out of that shadow, right? And I think that to some degree, making this film was a way of me coming out of that shadow and being able to talk about how we are thriving as a people. And to not feel bad about the fact that we're thriving as a people and to not feel like we have to live in the shadow of genocide for our generation and future generations. It can always be something that we remember and that means something and that, you know, we fight for recognition. But I think that it's also important to talk about, you know, who we are as Armenians in America today, that we don't have to just be defined by the Armenian genocide.
And you, I'd like to talk a little bit about your own personal story dealing with this. In other words, what kind of an Armenian background did you have? And did people talk about the genocide? And then what kind of got you to the point when you did want to make a film, just in a brief sense?
Yeah, so I was raised by my parents to, you know that I was Armenian. I have a brother, and we were always raised to know that we were Armenian and to know that that was important. And luckily, we were raised in, you know, Northern California, where we could frequently make trips to the Central Valley and see our grandparents, who absolutely cared that we were Armenian and that they were Armenian and that being Armenian was important. And so going to church was important and eating the food was important. And for them, language was important. I ultimately didn't end up learning the language. And so much of the elements. The music was so important. The art was important. The architecture, right? And so these are things that I knew about. I was, to some degree, living at a distance from it, though, because when I was pretty young, we lived in Northern California, and we had Armenian friends, but it wasn't part of my day-to-day life. And then when I was 10, we moved to Central Pennsylvania, where Penn State University is, because my father got a job there. And there was one main family, the Sahakians, who welcomed us with open arms and treated us like we were part of their family. And so that time in Central Pennsylvania, there just weren't many Armenians, and there just wasn't a lot of access to the culture or cultural events. But it always meant something to be Armenian, and everybody who knew me, you know, growing up in elementary school, junior high, and high school, and state college, they all knew I was Armenian. They might not have known what that was, unless they were in one of my many classes where I did reports on it. They all knew that I was Armenian, and they all knew that my family, you know, was one of the other Armenian families in town. And so ultimately in my adult life, and my father's suggestion, I ended up joining AGBU Young Professionals in San Francisco and became, you know, really good friends with a lot of people in that community and ended up traveling to Armenia in 2001 to play in the Pan-Armenian Games with a basketball team. And it was just a wonderful experience to be around people of the same culture. And so ultimately when I came to Philadelphia in 2003 to pursue my MFA at Temple University in filmmaking, one of the first things I did when I got to Philadelphia was meet up with the AGBU Young Professionals group here to see, you know, if there were other Armenians here. And, you know, when I was in my first class, when I was getting my master's degree, they asked us, you know, why are we making work? What kind of films do we plan to make? And, you know, I got up and I talked about the importance of me creating Armenian films to, you know, continue the Armenian voice for our people. So that was important to me. And ultimately, after school, I ended up getting hired at a PBS station, and I was making films for them that were not Armenian in nature. But the great thing is that experience that was at Penn State Public Broadcasting, that experience gave me the education to understand how to put together this documentary today. So, and it also gave me the relationships to be able to put together this documentary today, because a lot of the people that worked on the film with me are people that I know from Penn State, and my business partners, were part of those relationships also.
This is great. My guest today is Stephanie Ayanian. This is All Things Armenian. We're going to take a brief break, a pause, and then we'll come back with more with the director of and producer of What Will Become of Us.